ハレルヤ、ハレルヤ。
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening. He was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been raised from the dead. Others were saying, Elijah has appeared. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. The word of the Lord, as Sister Faith just said. There have been debates for almost 2,400 years as to why the book of Ecclesiastes is included in sacred scripture. The message it gives is a little strange for Jews, not to mention for Christians. All things are vanity. There's no profit whatsoever under the sun. It makes no difference. One generation passes and another comes, but the world forever just stays doing the same thing. Sun's rising, going down, pressing on the place to where it rises. All speech is labored. There's nothing one can say. Words I love you make no difference. What has been, that will be. What has been done, that will be done. Everything is just cyclical. There's nothing new under the sun. The word of the Lord. Why is this here? It's here because the church wanted to show what a vain life looks like, what a life without God really is. There are many who experience this vanity, living without God in the middle of the world. Hopeless, as St. Paul would say in his letter to the Ephesians. Time is not cyclical, it's linear. Words matter, and that's why the word took on flesh. All things are not vain. Some things are quite real. But unless we are following what we heard in the Gospel antiphon today, that there is a way, a truth, and a life, then ultimately our life will be worthless. But this changes everything. Herod was one who lived a vain life, very sensual. He had power, he had plenty of money, and he was very lascivious. But there was an emptiness there. He was fascinated in listening to John the Baptist, whom he beheaded. And he had heard about Jesus, and he so desperately wanted to see him. People were saying the things about Jesus that they told Jesus himself, that some say he's Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets, one of the great ones. Herod even thought he might be John raised from the dead, only to die again. But he recognized how vain his life was, and he was searching in some way for meaning, though he couldn't escape his own sensuality. But there are many who live like the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, many who think that way. Jesus, though, came into the world to bring meaning. And to the extent that we will find it and help others to find it, it will come by following him who is the way, believing him who is the truth, living together with him who is the light. This conversion that is always new under the sun, from the one who in the book of Revelation says, I am making all things new, is highlighted very powerfully for us in the life of St. Vincent de Paul, one of the greatest saints who has ever lived. grew up the son of a farmer, whom he was somewhat ashamed of. It's very painful for me to see how St. Vincent would treat his father, who sold most of the animals on the farm so that his bright young son would be able to go to seminary and follow what he thought was a vocation. But when the father came once to visit him, Vincent was so ashamed that his dad would be in the tattered rags of a farmer that he refused even to go out and acknowledge him as his dad. The father sacrificed everything for Vincent, but kind of like in the parable of the prodigal son, Vincent at this time didn't appreciate any of it. He was brilliant and was ordained a priest at the shockingly young age of 19. He needed to be 25 to be ordained. There can be exceptions when you're 24. Some who are really precocious at 23. He was ordained at 19. He saw the priesthood as a means to be able to get ahead. He was very eloquent, and because of his youth, everybody thought that they had a wunderkind on their hands. So he was able to become the chaplain to the Queen of Valois at a very early age. But he was constantly seeking to improve his status according to the vanities of the world. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to be well known. So he was traveling down to Marseille from Paris in order to collect an inheritance from a widow whom he had persuaded to give all her money to him. But as he was taking a little boat ride along the coast, his boat was captured by pirates, and he was brought to Tunis, and he was enslaved for 2 years. That was the first thing that helped him on the exodus from vanity to life, true life, even though he was a priest. Eventually, his slave owner, who was a Catholic woman who had converted to Islam in order to marry, converted her to come back to the faith so that she would be able to convert her husband, which worked. But as soon as she had received liberation in Christ, she liberated him. But he never forgot the condition of all those who had been captured, and he recognized that his life had to have a greater purpose. The second main scene in his conversion was when he was in Paris, moved by the whole experience, but still with some habits of the past. He was rooming with someone who was very rich, and one day that roommate discovered that he was missing 600 crowns, which was an enormous amount of money at the time. He accused Vincent, his only roommate, of having taken it, because Vincent was a money grabber. Vincent, by this point, had changed enough to just simply say, "I didn't do it. God knows the truth." But for 6 months, he was under that terrible suspicion of being a crook who had robbed from a friend and a housemate. At the end of 6 months, the true thief was caught and confessed, and Vincent's reputation was restored. But he began to know that money didn't matter, and a reputation didn't matter, provided that God knew the truth. So now he was liberated to do the right thing. He, in his travels, had recognized that so many people were living vainly, not because of pride necessarily, but with no real purpose. So many didn't know God. So he used his capacity to make friendships very easily, to get himself as the chaplain of the Comte de Joigner is his name, and he was also the kid's tutor. But this count was in charge of vast territories for France. So he was able to be appointed, Vincent, chaplain to all those on the farm so that he would actually have the ability to go in and make some changes. When he recognized just how far so many were from a life with full meaning, that's when he founded the Congregation of the Mission, a whole band of priests to join him in introducing people to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And that just started a whole pattern of his life, where he started to see how many people were suffering on the streets, and he got together a whole bunch of women, co-workers, led by St. Louise de Marillac, in order to care for their needs. He saw just how bad the bishops were, so he used his position with the royal family in order to be able first to make sure that in order to be ordained, you needed to do a two-week retreat with Vincent and the Lazarists. After those 2 weeks became 2 months and became 2 years, and it started the whole seminary system. And the Vincentians have taught in seminaries across the world ever since. He likewise recognized that you needed to reform the bishops. And so he got the king to appoint a royal commission, and every bishop would need to be examined by Vincent and others for propriety of life, for knowledge of theology and the rest. He was a man who had found his purpose, and he wanted everybody else to recognize that there was meaning in everything, provided that we were with the Lord. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we grasp that he received his life each morning from the Lord whom he held in his hands. As we prepare to receive that same Lord, we ask him to make all things new in us. Thank you.